the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee, and with us Senator Stedman, Senator Wagoner, Senator Ellis, Senator Kukesh, and myself, Stevens. We are just dealing with one bill this morning, a hearing, an overview on Senate Bill 179 relating to taxation of mining property, relating to contracts approved by municipalities for payments in lieu of taxes. And we have with us Senator Terrio.
I'd like to just give a few introductory comments on Senate Bill 179. My staff and I have been working on with members from the mineral industry here in the state for some time now. Finally, glad to report to you that we did get something introduced so the committee could start taking testimony. The intent of the bill is to offer some kind of stability in unorganized Alaska, where we have a lot of mineral exploration going on right now, and the prospect of generating jobs and value for the state based on the mineral resources that are found in those areas. And what I've proposed to do with the introduction of this bill is in unorganized Alaska, where there is a prospect for development of a mine, to deal with the uncertainty right now of how a project is evaluated to make the decision on whether it can go forward into development and production, to propose that a minimum 4 mil property tax be levied by the state on mining properties that are developed in unorganized Alaska. That money would be collected by the state, would be made available, and there's wording in the bill that would make it available to be deposited into the education fund that was created by the legislature, is proposed to be created by the legislature this year. That mill rate could be augmented by an additional 2 mils if, after the fact, a burrow does form around the mine. They would be able to place an additional 2 mils on the property. Of course, if they levy property tax on other properties within the proposed borough boundary for the operation of the government. The bill proposes that the state taxing mechanism be in place on the mine for 15 years. This is the initial 15 years of production. It seems like most large properties that are being developed generally have a mine life of between 10, 15, possibly up to 20 years. So it would allow the mines to know what level of taxation they can expect if, in fact, a local government does form, know what level of property taxation to expect if no local government forms around them, and what they would be paying to the state. It hopefully will get at some of the concern here in the legislature that areas out in unorganized Alaska don't pay any property tax towards the cost of education. That's why specifically we have asked that the 4 mils, minimum 4 mils, be directed into the education fund to help answer some of that concern. We have a number of prospective properties in the state that have generated quite a bit of interest, the Pebble Mine being the largest, that is already in an organized area in the state, so that would not be impacted by this legislation. It would only be those areas that are currently not organized under a borough or a borough government. So with that, I believe we have other individuals here that can perhaps answer specifics with regards to the impact on mining operations in the state. I'm available for questions. I also have my chief of staff, who has worked with the bill drafters on the draft that is before you, to answer technical questions.
Thank you, Senator Terrio. Appreciate your comments. I think it is remarkable that industry has come forward with this proposal. I guess taking the other view, though, I'd like to ask, would this be in any way a deterrent to the further development of boroughs in the unorganized area, do you think?
Mr. Chairman, it's one of those things. I'm not sure, to tell you the truth, whether the local government or the local citizenry feels like, well, we're we're contributing our minimum $4 million to the state government, and so the pressure on us to form a local government is going to be off. I think, to tell you the truth, that if in fact a mine does develop and there's a lot of economic activity, jobs created, hopefully that level of economic activity and the desire to have exert some control over it, not only just the mine property itself, but what goes on in the community surrounding the mine, will get up to the point where there will be a desire to sort of control their own destiny. In addition, then, the bill proposes that $2 million additionally can be levied upon the mine, and then if the mine has a life beyond the proposed 15 years, then it would be available for the local government to tax at whatever mill rate they feel comfortable with placing on all properties in the proposed area. So whether it would actually have a deterrent effect or perhaps lead to certainty so the mines can, in fact, go forward to develop and create those jobs, and then that in turn will lead to the formation of the local government, it's one of those things, if you have a crystal ball that can tell you exactly how that will all play out, I don't, and so I'm not, I guess the short answer is I'm not sure exactly what impact it will have.
Thanks, Senator. Any questions from the...
I like the bill and the fact that it does bring certainty to the whole process of somebody going in and opening up a mine and not being overtaxed at the rate that they didn't calculate at the time they took on the venture. These are very expensive processes anymore.
Just so I have an idea of what's happening in other areas, what is the taxation in organized boroughs? Any rough ideas of...
Mr. Chairman, in the Fairbanks North Star borough, is it 16? Is 16 mills. That's the general property tax. And, of course, you have there the millage rate gets applied on all properties, so that means it's 16 mills on my home, it's 16 mills on the mine, 16 mills on the pipeline infrastructure. Now, in that area, though, I think you would make an argument that the level of services that are offered by the government, you know, the school contribution, the planning and zoning, the libraries, the swimming pools, all of those things, I certainly would argue that the millage rate be higher. I'm not sure when you get out into a more rural setting that you would expect that all those services would be offered by the borough government. And so, therefore, you would expect the millage rate to be somewhat lower. So, you know, I certainly am open to discussions if people feel that the proposed rate is not correct. However, we want to keep in mind that we're trying to set the millage rate at a level that will allow the projects to actually move forward into production so that all the benefits that come from the creation of the jobs are in fact, realized.
Thank you, Senator. Any further questions? Anything further, Senator, or your staff? Or
Mr. Chairman, I think...
Like to speak, so.
Mr. Chairman,
in thinking of the... as we're going through the different drafts, I did ask my staff, I said, well, contact the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assessor's Office or the Chief of Staff for the Mayor and find out, you know, what gets taxed? Do the roads get taxed? Does the electrical substation get taxed? Does the power line, you know, exactly at the Fort Knox property in Fairbanks gets taxed? And we have tried to structure this bill so that the mines in this area would be treated the same. It's my understanding that in Fort Knox, once you go across the boundary line, the power pole to get the power to the electricity, they start taxing. They put a value on that first power pole within the mine property, and they levy tax on it. And I want to think things to be as equal as possible in the way the properties are treated. But I have tried to keep in mind the level of services that will be offered, and in some of these more remote areas. What level of certainty do we have to extend in fact to get the property to come into development?
Thank you. Senator Ellis?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Senator Terrio, when you worked with the mining interest to come up with the legislation, did they present some sort of compelling argument to you or evidence that any limitation or that the $4 million was the maximum that they could afford to pay and have the certainty at that level that their projects were economic? And did it vary from project to project? And I guess I'm trying to figure out if this is sort of the opening bid in a negotiation with the state for what this level of taxation should be, or if that was, you would represent to the committee that it's you're convinced that the projects won't go forward if we allowed any tax in the unorganized borough beyond what the bill says.
I don't know that I can make that you know, strong statement that anything beyond this means that nothing is going to develop. I, you know, certainly think that we would have to look more project to project. But we do have to keep in mind that in taking this action, we're in fact sitting as the assembly for the unorganized area. And so I'm not sure how you would, just like the property tax within the Fairbanks North Star Borough is uniform. You know, the property tax then that's being proposed here in the unorganized area would be uniform. You've got some projects that are on the road system, have much more of an ability to expect that power can be extended to them. They don't have to generate on-site, perhaps, that would make them perhaps more economically viable. So I guess that rate of taxation is subject to the discussion by the legislature through the committee process. The original concept that, going back and forth with my own staff, originally it was just the four mills, and of course we have the four mills that go to mandatory mills that go to education, and so that's where that discussion started. I pushed back and said, well, I want the option, if a local government forms, that there be a higher millage rate. I want a mechanism to allow them to do that. And so we went back to the drafters and came up with a mechanism that allows that, and the way it's presented in the bill is up to 6%, or 6 mills. So it's been back and forth. I don't know, nobody from the industry has come in and told me specifically this is the absolute maximum that can be charged, or else nothing's going to happen.
Mr. Chairman, if I could continue, the 4 mills goes to the new education fund. Aren't there impacts and costs to the state beyond just providing education that even if a local government doesn't form around the second new economic activity, aren't there other things that cost us beyond just education that we should account for in all this?
Well, Senator, there could be. Certainly, if local government is not there to provide services and services are needed, the state is by default the provider. But the way things are right now, there's no allowance in our statutes for a millage rate to be charged at all. So if a mine develops out there where there is no currently no local government, nothing is paid to the state. Nothing accrues to the state from property tax.
So there are various mine projects, prospective mine projects, in the unorganized borough, and you made the observation some of them are located near existing infrastructure, roads and other transportation systems, and some aren't. So I'm trying, I'm still trying to get a feel for the 4%. You know, are we looking toward the most potentially uneconomic mineral development project with the, you know what I mean? You're, we're affecting different levels of economic merit of different mine projects in the unorganized borough with the same, you know, I understand the need for certainty. I understand the need for potentially for uniformity or consistency, I guess. But we'll be, we'd be setting the rates to the state based on the least economic of the projects, and if we limited this, some projects would go forward, others wouldn't. I just don't have a good sense of whether this would be good public policy.
Senator Ellis, through the chair, we certainly have to keep in mind the least economically viable. And there may be a project out there that even the four mills makes it very questionable whether it goes forward. And I guess that's a policy call that we have to make here. Certainly in the Fairbanks North Star Borough, the current millage that is charged on all properties impacts different projects, different economic activity, maybe even economic activity of the same kind, differently. My welding shop pays the 16 mills. the welding shop across town, that 16 mills may put them just on the razor's edge of being, you know, bankrupt. I don't know. But yet we all pay the same thing, pay the same millage rate.
The biggest factor in this is world commodity prices, right? I mean, in the mining industry, that's the end-all of whether these projects go forward or not. I don't know how much is our responsibility to make projects economic that would otherwise be uneconomic at you know, a neutral stance on our part and
mm-hmm.
fluctuation of the commodity price on a world market.
Yeah. Well, you're right. That's one of the things that is the biggest decider in whether one of these projects goes through. It's the commodities price, and the second thing is the upfront investment. The Pebble project is very likely to be a $1 billion development just before they dig the first ore and process the first mineral for shipment and repayment. That upfront investment, coupled with the uncertainty going forward of the commodity price, is what makes these projects so hard to run the numbers on and determine whether it's going to be worthwhile for the companies to make that investment. Again, the status quo for a project that would develop in an unorganized area, absent the development, a proposal for a local government to form, would be that no property tax would accrue to any governmental entity in the state without something moving forward.
Decision.
Thank you, Senator Ellis. Senator Stedman and then Senator Wagner.
It's exciting to look forward and anticipate when some of these big mine projects come on, and maybe, you know, someday and we'll have a couple in Southeast. But if we look at the way the bill is, then it would tax all mineral surveys in unorganized boroughs. So some of these mineral surveys and claims down in this area, and I'm sure it's probably up in the interior also, are just mining claims sitting there just as vacant land, pretty much. And so if they're outside the borough boundaries, then there would be a property tax levied on them. And if in a couple of instances I can think of down here where people have filed for a mining claim to build a cabin so they can have a cabin, and then they root around enough to keep the cabin to qualify for the, you know, for a mine site, then those would be included. And so it's the small guys and the big guys, or
no? Mr. Chairman, the property tax is levied only on the infrastructure itself, the infrastructure for putting the mine into development. So the roads, the power generation for the actual mining and production of the mineral. There is also a provision in here that so the lease itself is not taxable. The minerals in the ground, not taxable. It makes that clear that you're paying a property tax, not the extraction tax and things of that nature. There's also some language in here for the protection of those small mining operators, a placer mine that maybe has a sluice box and a dozer to push the dirt into it type thing. There's also a exemption on the first $10 million of infrastructure, again, to try and cover the small operators. We really are trying to go after these large, you know, place a taxation mechanism on the very large mining operations.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Seven.
I think it's unlikely that anybody would have a cabin over $10 million, so I don't have any concern now that...
Yeah.
Okay. They're not going to tax your sluice box, so you're okay.
We'll tax the sluice box.
Okay, thank you, Senator Seven. Senator Wagner?
Well, I was just going to say, even the way this bill is written, there's nothing that precludes the state. If it's determined that a 4 mil tax levy is going to render a project unlikely to succeed, they can always reduce that mill rate too.
I'm sorry, Senator. Could you state that again?
If a project is deemed unviable with a 4 mil tax rate on it. The state itself then could reduce that mill rate for a period of years to make that a viable project. And I don't know whether that will happen or not, but it's very possible to happen because a lot of these mills operate, or the mines operate, on a very, very small percentage of profit when it comes to their overhead costs. So.
Mr. Chairman, the just lost my train of thought here.
Well, the question is, Senator Wagner has said that the state could reduce it below the 4%.
Yes.
I'm not sure that's true if I read the bill. The bill does say 4%, four mills, doesn't it?
That would take further action by the legislature, basically. If a mining project came in and said, you set this minimum four-mill hurdle, there's no way that we can clear that hurdle, the legislature would certainly have the power, future legislature would have the power to make an exception or something along that line to allow that particular project to go forward. Certainly.
Thank you. Any further questions of Senator Terrio? Thank you very much. We've got a couple people who wish to speak to us, or at least one, Steve Burrell and Randy Hoffbeck from the Department of Revenue is here for questions. So, Mr. Burrell from the Alaska Miners, are you with us?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I am, and with me I have James Fugue representing Placer Dome and the Council of Alaska Producers, but if I might, I'd go ahead and give my testimony first.
Yes, please do. If you'd identify yourself, Steve.
Sure. My name is Steve Borrell. I'm the Executive Director of Alaska Miners Association, and I'm speaking on behalf of the association. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on this bill. This is a unique situation when an industry is volunteering to pay a new tax. Through Senate Bill 179, the mining industry is volunteering to pay a new property tax that does not currently exist. That tax would be a property tax on large mines operating in the unorganized borough and would have a constant rate, a tax rate, for a period of 15 years from first production at the mine. The mining industry already pays several taxes to the state depending on the type of land where mining is occurring. A mining license tax is paid to the state irregardless of whether the mine is on state, federal, private, native, or other private land. Mining also pays corporate income tax, mining claim rental on both state and federal claims, and a production royalty when mining occurs on state land. And when mines are in an organized borough, they pay property taxes to that municipality. However, in the unorganized borough, there is no municipal government with taxing authority. It is in these areas of the state that we are proposing a new tax. We are proposing a tax of 4 mills, the amount the borough would be required to contribute for funding of its schools, plus an additional 2 mills later on if a borough becomes established. This tax would be paid to the state until such time as a borough is established. If a borough is established at some future date, then the tax would be paid to the borough. I recognize the question earlier about whether or not this bill would encourage or discourage borough formation. It's our hope that the thing would be very borough neutral. There are a lot of people with arguments on both sides of that, and this seems to be a way in which it should be neutral. It shouldn't force the borough to form, or it shouldn't be a discouragement for forming. This bill applies to all mines with an assessed value of $10 million or more, and it includes a provision where smaller operations, if they wish to have the same kind of local tax certainty, they may elect to participate and pay the tax, and thereby have the same tax stability for 15 years. The mining industry often states that uncertainty is a major concern. The uncertainty typically takes one of three forms, either a business or price uncertainty, as the discussion earlier between the senators, also a regulatory uncertainty, and a tax uncertainty. This new tax would help remove the tax uncertainty part of that scenario. I would say, too, that regarding other things that that a company has to deal with, each project, there's a long list of items that a company will consider. It's not going to be decided whether this mill rate is four mills or if it's five mills or six mills. Their decision to go forward includes a lot of things. The mill rate for local taxes being one of them. Metal prices obviously is the big item. As I mentioned, regulatory uncertainty. The confidence that the company has in its own design. In certain areas, if you will, you have a very high confidence level that your say the slope angle on your pit is going to be at a certain rate. That makes a lot of difference in the amount of overburden you have to move to get to the ore. And so, how confident am I that angle of that pit wall is going to be, a few degrees? Say it's going to be 45 degrees versus potentially being 65 degrees. These are all things that the companies factor together, and this local taxation is one of those, and it's one of the major items. Anyway, with that, I'll turn it over to James Fugue of Placer Dome, and thank you very much for the opportunity to comment, and I'll be here for questions if you desire.
Thank you very much, Mr. Burrell. Appreciate you being here. And the next speaker, would you, again, tell me your name, please?
Mr. Chairman, my name is James Fugue. I work for Placer Dome, and I'm the technical and permitting coordinator for the Donlin Creek Joint Venture.
Thank you, Mr. Fugue. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to thank the committee members for this opportunity to express my company's support for this bill. We believe the bill is important to the potential development of a mine at Donlin Creek for two reasons. Firstly, it provides a mechanism for the mine to contribute to the local community by providing funds that can be used to support education and local government in the region. And secondly, as we've heard previously, it helps to provide some of the long-term stability that will assist us in making a positive decision on an investment that we expect to be in excess of $1 billion. If Placer Dome develops a mine at Donlin Creek, we'll be paying both corporate income taxes and mining license taxes. Additionally, we would pay a royalty to Chulisa Corporation for the extraction of minerals from their lands. This bill would not affect any of these payments, but will in fact provide additional revenue to the state or any future borough that may be formed. Local communities would also benefit through the jobs created and the mine support of local businesses. Placer Dome has a history of local hire and community participation at Donlin Creek. If we proceed with the development of a mine, we would like to continue this involvement in the local community and contribute our fair share to the financing of local government and education. This bill would allow for a property tax payment at a rate currently set by the state for the funding of education. Preliminary direct capital estimates for construction of a mine at Donlin Creek are of the order of $1 billion. Under this bill, this could result in a revenue stream of the order of $4 million per annum. The local Cuspuck School District received approximately $4.4 million from the state in fiscal year 03 to fund education. This means that taxes under this bill from a mine at Donlin Creek could potentially fund 90% of the state's cost for local education in the region. Donlin Creek would not draw on local services, such as the construction and maintenance of roads or the provision of water and sewer. In fact, the project would be constructing and maintaining all of its own infrastructure. Taxes paid under this bill would not be used to support mine-related infrastructure, but could be used to pay for education and other community services. Taxes under this bill would be paid to the state until such time as the community may make a decision to form a local government, at which point these taxes would be paid directly to that government, both to assist in the funding of education and to assist in the administrative expenses associated with borough formation. We believe that this could help to provide financial security for a new borough as it transitions to home rule and must become self-supporting. We do, however, request the language in the bill, as it currently reads, pertaining to tax payable upon formation of a new borough, be amended to avoid future uncertainty about the intent of the language. The bill currently states that the tax rate in a municipality incorporated after January the 1st, 2005 is the mill rate specified in AS 1417410B2 plus 2 mills. We would request that this language be amended to read, is the mill rate required to meet the local contribution required of that municipality under AS 1417410B2 plus 2 mills. We feel that this could remove future uncertainty about the intent of the bill. In making investment decisions, mining companies place significant emphasis on political and economic stability at all levels of government. This generally contributes to making Alaska an attractive place for major investments, but in the unorganized borough there are currently no rules and no entity to negotiate agreements with regarding taxation at the local government level. This makes long-term economic modeling and forecasting difficult when investment decisions must be made. As I noted previously, total capital costs at Donlin Creek may be well in excess of $1 billion. This would represent a very significant investment for our company, and a positive decision on economic viability at Donlin Creek would be much easier to achieve if a level of certainty regarding taxation at the local government level was available. Placidone believes in involving people in the local community in Donlin Creek. However, there is no local entity with which a binding agreement on taxes can be negotiated at this time. Previous experience in Alaska suggests that at least until such time as a project is in development, no such local entity will be formed. This means that under the current system, we have no mechanism with which to negotiate an agreement. In summary, Mr. Chairman, we support this bill because we believe it serves the interests of the people of Alaska and the Kuskokwim region while helping to provide the investment climate that will help our company to make a positive decision on this very important project. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Peter. Would you mind going back to your comment earlier about the proposed change? I didn't have the bill in front of me at that time, and specifically, what was your suggestion again?
Mr. Chairman, if you go to page 2, line 23,
right.
I don't know if you have a copy of it or not, but essentially our understanding is that the bill would require a tax at a rate of 4 mills until such time as a borough may be formed. After that, the tax rate would be the greater of 4 mills or the lesser of 4 mills or 45% of the basic education funding requirement plus 2 mills. We would just like some language inserted in the bill that would clarify that requirement.
Well, thank you. I guess we'd ask the Senatorial or staff maybe at a later date to try and respond to that, just so we understand what it is you're requesting. Thank you very much, Mr. Few. I appreciate your comments. Any questions of Mr. Few or Mr. Burrell? Senator Wagner.
Question for Steve. Steve, you listed three taxes or licensing fees. Could you expand on that a little bit as to what they entail, percentage-wise or cost-wise?
yes, Senator Wagner, through the chair. The mining license tax, excuse me, is variable in the at the start, and it then goes up to a 7% of net proceeds from the project. The state production royalty is the same calculation. It's also a net proceeds royalty, and it's 3%. So let's say that a company is fortunate enough to make a profit. The state off the top gets 10% of that. Does that answer your question?
Plus whatever corporate taxes are available.
Right. Yes, sir, and that does not include the corporate income tax, and hopefully they'll have to pay some of that.
Yeah, I think it's 9%, but 10%. Okay, that's all I wanted clarification on.
In addition, there's that's state royalty. Okay. Okay, thank you very much. Further questions or comments? We also have Randy Hoffbeck from the Department of Revenue. Any questions of Mr. Hoffbeck? Anyone in the room care to speak to this issue? Yes, Kevin, please come up.
Kevin Ritchie with the Alaska Municipal League. And, of course, this is fairly difficult to do because you and the state and we are dealing with boroughs that don't exist right now potentially and looking at the impact on whether they could exist or not. I do appreciate the folks working on the bill came in to see us end of week before last and generally discussed the issues and needs that they saw. And we got a preliminary copy of the bill, and since that time it has been changed, which is on the 4 mil to 6 mil possibilities. But what I would suggest, and I think this is a real important part of your role as the Community Regional Affairs Committee, is I can't make a lot of comments on the bill right now because there's a lot that I don't know about property tax. I suggest that we do have some mines that are operating successfully in Alaska. Those are all generally overseen by the state assessor, Steve Van Zandt, and so there are ways of determining what's taxable and what isn't. The point that the bill sponsor made about the legislature being the unorganized borough assembly de facto is a good one, and I think it's really a good thing and a magnanimous thing that the mining communities come forward and talked about taxation while there's an unorganized borough. However, there does need to be, in my opinion, some significant discussions with Department of Commerce, Community Economic Development, the state assessor, to look at how mines are treated in other parts of the state, what kind of agreements have been made, and taking a look at tax structures. Last time I talked to the state assessor, the average mill rate property tax in the state of Alaska is 14 to 15 mils. And so if a municipality were, in fact, to form and provide things that you wished a municipality would, so they didn't have to come to the state, police, fire, some road maintenance, and so on, paying a local contribution for schools in excess of what currently exists, you could have a situation where essentially the borough would be at some point subsidizing the mine, in essence. Say if the mine were a Kmart or something else, giving them a certain tax rate for the life of the mine would mean that when that community, if that borough did form and want to provide local taxation, they wouldn't have the resources to potentially to do that, to implement those services. That's something that I think does require significant discussion. And the discussion with the state assessor on page 6, and this is something that I don't know enough about to really comment, but in the exemption...
Page 6 of the...
Page 6 of the bill, sir.
Yeah.
But this is where the state assessor could make some comments. Currently, the things that are... there is state law that covers what's taxable for mines. There are several mines, like just across the channel, Greens Creek Mine is taxed by the city and borough of Juneau, and they've worked out ways to do that. I don't know how that corresponds to what's here, but if roads, storage facilities, these are the things that are exempt from taxation, roads, storage facilities, terminals, docks, port facilities, airstrips, publicly owned or privately owned and open to public use, tangible property used for the exploration and development of minerals. And I'm not enough of a property tax person to know what that means, but if that would, in essence, reduce the assessed value far below the assessed value for other mines around the state, then that 4 mils or 6 mils or whatever would obviously be of a lot less value. So those are the kinds of questions that I strongly suggest that really need to be looked into to make sure that at the one point what I feel is a legitimate concern is stability of a new business coming into the state. The Alaska Municipal League is very supportive of mining and new industry in general, but making sure that look is balanced and making sure that if there could be that a borough formed in that area, that the mine would not be a deterrent to forming a borough as opposed to at least neutral.
Thank you, Mr. Ritchie. The Constitution says that the goal is to have as much of the state and organized boroughs as possible are
or something like that. I guess my major concern is if this is a detriment or an encouragement to the formation of boroughs. Would you have any comment on that?
Mr. Chairman, at this point, depending on the circumstances, on case by case, it could be a detriment. With what little I know, and I don't know a lot about the properties taxation processes, but I think that's the question that really needs to be answered, is there are other mines around the state that are taxed at some rate. Usually that's a negotiation. The fail-safe for property tax is it is illegal under state law to charge one property tax for one industry and another property tax for a family or another with some limited deductions and things, seniors and so on. But in essence, you have to charge the same mill rate to everybody. So part of the fail-safe is whoever in that borough will all be paying the same mill rate as the mine. And so that's one part of the solution that's not necessarily a fail-safe. The other part, and again, I'm not the expert on this one. I guess the Local Boundary Commission would be, but I believe that a borough formation would take a plan that also talked about the tax structure for that borough when it happened. Of course, that doesn't give a mining property certainty right now, of course. But I do think the legislature has the ability during the borough incorporation process to have some impact on mining and mill rates. This bill, the way I read it, would also exempt the mine from any other form of, pretty much any other form of taxation or in large part, sales tax, for example. So if a community is Juneau or the Kenai Peninsula or many other communities have a sales tax and a property tax, this would also, I believe, exempt them from the sales tax. And that's obviously something that would be a question.
Thank you, Mr. Ritchie. Any questions of Mr. Ritchie? Thank you very much. Any further comments anyone care to make at this time? Senator Terrio?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of things I should have mentioned in my initial testimony. On page 2 of the bill, lines 21-22, that's the line that talks about the mill rate. The tax rate is the mill rate specified in 1417-410-B2. Originally, the original draft of the bill that we were working on had specified a four mills. And because I did not want to lock the contribution from these projects at four mills, and then later on perhaps the legislature adjusts up what the required mill rate for education would be to maybe we go to five mills. I told my staff to go back to the drafters and put language in that basically says whatever the education statute requires shall be the millage rate that's paid. So if in fact we get one of these projects going and the legislature adjusts from four mills up to four and a half or five mills for education minimum requirement, then the millage rate charged on that mine would also go up. So it's tied specifically to that education statute, not a static four mills. In addition, on page 3, lines 7 through 9 talks about the levying of a sales tax. And I know for the city of North Pole, there's a 3% sales tax, and it's capped, I think, at first on the first $600, or it's got some upper limit. And here we've allowed a local sales tax to be levied on the purchases and goods and services at the mine. It's capped at $1,000, so it's a fairly high threshold that does allow the local government, if one is formed, to clearly charge a sales tax. With regards to the language. See, that was just referenced on page 6, lines 18 through 19 there, where it talked about no tax on the road storage facilities, terminals, docks, and other port facilities, airstrips, publicly owned or privately owned and open for public use. Again, in discussing things in my office, I decided to draw the line that if it's clearly open to public use, full public use, then should it be taxed? Original language that we were looking at said minimal public use. Well, I wasn't quite sure what minimal public use would be. If a mine puts in a dock facility in a road, and maybe it's closed to general public use, but another mine opens up next door, and they want to use the same dock and part of the road to get to their mine facility, well, is that limited public use? Well, under that kind of scenario, I think the entity that put in the original dock facility in the road, if it's not open to general public use, they should charge the second mine to recoup part of their cost. That should be a business-to-business agreement. Doesn't necessarily make it that infrastructure should be tax-exempt. So I've tried to draw sensible lines here with regard to what should be in, what level of local taxing power would be available if a government were to be formed out there, and do it in such a manner that we can hopefully give a level of certainty that's required for the projects to move into development and production.
Senator Wagoner?
The other thing I see in relation to this bill, comparing it to existing mines, those existing mines we have in Alaska are already developed in an area where they know the mill rate and what the mill rate is set at. And that's a big difference. This right here, we're dealing with an unknown. So I think there's a larger difference between existing burrows, existing mill rates, and having a mill rate in an area that once the mine is in there, that's the primary thing that would cause the formation of a burrow. That's, to me, that's the big difference.
Thank you. Further comments? Okay, well, I want to thank everyone for testifying. It's been, the purpose of this was an overview. We've had a chance to hear the general issues. I think there's a lot of more questions people have, and I'll look forward to holding another hearing very shortly to hear more. And I think it's probably a good idea to hear from the state assessor, from others as well, and certainly from the communities, from anyone else that wants to speak to us. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, we expect a sponsor statement, a sectional, all the normal things you have with the bill to come later.
Yes, I'm sure we will be getting that.
There's a sponsor statement in there.
Right. Well, yeah, there's one on the second page of that.
Turn it over. There you go.
Okay. Well, sectional.
Right. Yeah, we'll be getting that. Okay, thank you all very much. This meeting is adjourned.